Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Tommy Watson, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from failure and adversity to go and live the best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the Programs and Products page and click on Million Dollar Business Pathway to get yourself started. So folks, are you guys ready for another amazing show today? Joining me, I have the one and only Ryan Burkford. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, man. Thank you. Happy. I don't know what day it is. Geez, Tuesday.
They run together at some point in time, and you know
they do run together, man. I started that sentence, and I was like, I don't know what day it is.
Right. It is a pleasure to have you on. And Brian is from my hometown, Denver, Colorado. So it's good to connect with another hometown guy as well. So glad to have you on. So Brian, before we begin, Just briefly introduce yourself to our audience out there.
Yeah, sure. So I, as you said, grew up here in Colorado, and I really, and for some reasons we'll probably get into, was fascinated by the human mind and psychology, and then it became performance and athletics and that type of thing. And I built a few businesses up. A couple of them were actually in the dog industry, dog training, behavior rehabilitation, daycare, boarding. But my first love has always been human performance psychology, maximizing that mental training. And that's really what I do and I'm focused on today as an entrepreneur who also coaches other athletic entrepreneurs kind of in the mental training space.
That's awesome. And Brian, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to get a hold of me?
Just my website, burkfordperformance.com, and making sure that as they get on there, they get on the email list, because that's really how I keep in communication with people.
Awesome. So folks, if you're looking for a great coach, make sure you reach out to Brian Burkford and get him to coach you up on how to be a top performer. That's what it's all about today's society. Brian, as you know, our podcast really focuses on bringing people like yourselves on and have us kind of talk through one of your most difficult times. So our listening audience out there, if they're facing something similar or know if someone's facing something similar, they'll have sort of a blueprint to kind of walk them through how to overcome some of the challenges they're facing. So let me get started with my first question. My first question, what's been the biggest obstacle you've had to overcome personally or professionally?
Wow, that's a good question. There's possibly two answers to that. So I want to say at the outset and be very clear, in a lot of ways, what I have gone through, because everybody has their stuff, right? Yep. Everybody has their stuff. And I certainly don't want to present it as, oh my gosh, I have this crazy story, right? There's plenty of people that have gone through a heck of a lot more than I have. And I guess my desire would be to just share my story, because that's all I can share from personal experience and the impact that it's kind of had today and where that came from. But I think the biggest challenge is probably rooted in my childhood, you know, just experienced a lot of kind of emotional turbulence, we'll just put it that way. And it can really mess with you, especially as a kid, because, you know, you can start to be gaslit and think that you're the crazy one. And it really messes with you because you don't have the frame of reference like you do when you get a little bit older and have some of those tools at your disposal and the perspective to understand a little bit better what's going on. And so a lot of emotional turmoil in that regard, spent probably the better part of my adolescence at varying levels of suicidal ideation, a lot of depression, a lot of sadness, a lot of anger, that type of thing. And so I'm really glad that I'm not in that space anymore. But one of the beautiful things is the stuff that I learned out of that and the ability then to really have that depth of perspective to help other people. Because even though I work with really high performing elite people, some of them are driven out of pain and they haven't dealt with the crud of life and the things that they're still running from, or they're still, you know, trying to burn off that angst and they have to do it and it's almost compulsive. And to be able to have that experience, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah, and very well said. And Brian, I really appreciate your transparency and honesty, you know, sharing that piece. Now, I'm also a former school principal. We have a lot of educators who are listening on our show as well. So, you know, we start talking about some of the emotional challenges that you face as a young person. You know, a lot of us may have young people in our schools who are facing some of those same emotional challenges and what have you. So when you were going through that, man, what was some of the, you mentioned already emotion, but if you go a little deeper, what were some of the emotions you were dealing with, you know, as you're trying to balance and figure this thing out from childhood to adolescence, and you have all these pressures on you from school and these adults around you. How did you navigate that? What were your feelings you were dealing with as you're going there?
I think the honest answer to how I navigated through that was grace of something bigger than me, because it's not, you know, I'm this release. I mean, I guess we're all special people in a certain regard, but there was just a lot of grace there woven throughout, and that golden thread to kind of pull me through somehow, because I would ping pong back and forth for something like just sadness and kind of despair and the apathetic place that can drive you to, where you feel like you can't do anything, or the shame and the defeat, but then going into sort of the rage and the anger because of the perceived and, you know, injustice of the whole situation, and bouncing back and forth between those things is in some ways worse than just staying in one of them. It's very chaotic. It's very much like, I don't want to I'm going to liken it to this because it came to mind, but I want to preface it with, this is not in any way accurate, but it reminds me a little bit of almost sort of like when the brain starts firing randomly and you get things like a seizure, because it's firing when it shouldn't be, and it's very chaotic and there's all this activity going on. And to be in the tumult of something like that emotionally is, it stretches you, it pulls you, it pushes you together. It's like being in some type of vessel in turbulent seas and just getting bashed up against the rocks over and over and over. And it's interesting. It can do a number on you.
You know, Brian, and again, thank you for sharing that. As you were going through this, did you have any mentors or guides to kind of help you kind of figure some of this stuff out?
Honestly, my first reaction to that is no. I was almost, and I don't want to say that I was too young to have mentors and guides, but I think a lot of times where we get into mentorship is as we get older. And a lot of this stuff was happening before I was 15, 16 years old, sure. Right? This was happening really, really early on. And so it was probably a season of life thing that, for whatever reason. Now, don't get me wrong, I was thinking about this the other day. There were bright spots in that. There was a guy who worked, I think it was just for like the summer at the after school program I was at in elementary school. And he didn't particularly do anything other than he had a genuine interest in me. And I could see that he saw me beneath all the outer stuff. And there was something magical about that. He didn't say anything explicit, but he would just take time to listen and was genuinely interested. And I went, that's interesting. This bright, shining light in this sea of seeming darkness was such a welcome thing. And never underestimate the power of something small. I don't think the guy particularly went out of his way. He just had some type of, you know, just love in his heart that it shone through. And that was a pretty amazing thing for me. So I didn't necessarily have mentors. However, in some ways that made me stronger, because I became so self-reliant, almost to a fault at a certain point, but so self-reliant. And the other thing that I want to say is, when all that stuff was going on, there was a point at which I was just going, okay, I'm either going to just roll over and wet on myself and metaphorically or literally die here.
Yeah.
Or I'm going to stand up and frickin' do something, and I'm going to move forward, and I'm going to have a passion and a power and a fire, and I'm going to light that up. so that I can live and that I can look to the future and trust that there's something out there better for me. Mm-hmm. And making that decision was really powerful. But it was an emotional, visceral decision. It was a choice, but that set me on a completely different path. And I still have that level of drive with me today that I would have never, ever gotten if the crap hadn't hit the fan the way it did over and over and over. Right. So I'm passionate about, you know, if an adversity is in your life, if a fear is in your life, if something like that is in there, I've said this over and over, make it pay for being there. Don't let it occupy real estate in your heart, mind, and spirit without paying you for being there. You can make it pay, or you can pay the price.
Right.
It's up to you. And that's something I learned at a very, very early age, just because of the circumstance.
That's a great lesson to learn. So, you know, when you were going through that moment and at your darkest moment, what kept you from giving up? What kept you motivated to say, hey, you know what? I'm not going to roll over and just die. I am going to go forward and I'm going to kick this thing's butt. What kept you motivated? What was your point of passion there?
Oh, gosh, that's such a good question. I love you digging into this because it makes me think about it and have to articulate it as well. I think, well, there's a couple things. One was just this sense that there was something within me that was worthwhile and that hadn't come out yet, and I wanted to see what that was, and I couldn't have said what it was. I couldn't have understood it. It was just a sense that I had. That was one thing. And the other part of it was like, screw these people.
Mm-hmm.
Screw them. And that's not necessarily the most healthy motivation to run on long term, but it can be very powerful in the moment. Like, to heck with this.
Yeah.
I'm getting up out of here. I'm gonna make it through. And it's interesting because the level of perseverance and the patience that I can have throughout a process, going through what I went through, it's freaking easy for me.
Right.
At this point, I still have to apply myself. Don't get me wrong. And I still feel the grit and the grind, but it's pretty much easy for me because I'm like, I got through that. And it was year after year after year after year after year of this misery. And eventually that spark being lit, I'm like, I can make it through anything. So
absolutely. That is a great point. I love hearing that as well. So as you look back on those events, and you kind of alluded to this as you talked about that changing point, how did those events shape you as a person?
Yeah, well, as you said, I alluded to the drive piece and what that created in me. It also gave me a really deep interest in psychology, the psyche.
Sure.
What makes people do the things they do? How do people process information? What is behind it all? Why? Yes. Right? It's like in the Matrix. It's the question that drives us.
Yes.
And so it created those pieces. It also created some unhealthy things, because what we don't necessarily always look at is the dark underbelly. We can say, hey, here's what I got out of it. At some point, though, the awareness has to circle back around to, what's the other side of that?
Right.
What's the side where I'm always was geared toward looking to the future? Because if there wasn't something in the future, I was done.
Right. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. I was done if I couldn't psychologically move forward and create something that was really compelling down the road. However, that doesn't do very well for being present.
Yes.
And being okay, which is where all your greatest fulfillment, spiritual fulfillment happens. It never happens in the past or the future. It's always about what's happening right now. And so we can sometimes get so lopsided. It's if we go to the gym and you overbuild your quadriceps and you're not making sure your hamstrings are where they need to be, biomechanically, that's going to go up that kinetic chain, and it's going to create issues in your body. You're going to have problems up in your neck and think that it's your neck and it has nothing to do with that. And so coming back around and understanding that piece, fortunately, because I was fascinated by the psychology and development in that realm, and I studied it in college, and it's funny because I did study it in college, but all my best education in it came after college, of course. Yeah. But it was a great start. And yeah, I just have such an appreciation for it. And now to be able to have the passion to help other people is just such a privilege.
That is amazing to evolve. And I'm one that's always fascinated with the mind as well. So to be able to evolve to a place where you're taking your pain and then you convert it to purpose to help other people is amazing. You know, but you also help your learning from your situation growing up as a kid and your newfound knowledge and passion for psychology of the mind to help you overcome water phobia, right?
Yeah, so this is interesting. Yeah. You said it exactly right, though, because it wasn't a fear response. I want to be clear. I had been fearful of other things. For instance, I realized I was scared of heights because we were at this, girlfriend at the time, now wife, we were at some fair or something, and there was this stupid little wall that you could climb up, and I got up like 7 feet and realize I'm completely petrified and I'm terrified of heights. And okay, great. So my solution was I'm going to take up rock climbing. Fast forward to the swimming thing. It was more of having my head submerged beneath water, this kind of suffocating feeling that it brought about. I even had issues as a kid with things like football. And of course, and I mean like peewee football, but being a running back and ending up on the bottom of a pile and just going into full-blown panic. And same thing would happen, especially in the water. So I decided when I was 30, what the heck am I doing here? I'm putting up with BS for myself. I don't live from a place of fear. I normally tolerate that. To have fear making decisions in my life is a bunch of crap. And I got sick of it. And I went out and hired a coach to help me learn how to swim. And then I just kept going. And one thing after the next, maybe someday I joined a master's program. Then the dream was maybe I could qualify for nationals one day. And that took a few years. And then my present thing is I want to win a national championship because I have had some of those bright spots in my life or people, a lot of athletes especially just inspire the snot out of me. And to look at something that a feat that they would do and their dedication, their resilience and their drive. And I would see something like that and go, gosh, if they can do that, man, I can take the next step. And if I could do that for somebody else, that has always been such a powerful motivating force for me.
That is awesome. I love it. And kudos to you for that goal of becoming a national champion in the water sport. I'm not quite there yet. I want to, you know, growing up in Colorado, we weren't around a lot of pools anyhow, but or lakes. But I want to get better when it comes to swimming as well, though. You know, so Brian, as you look back on your journey, would you do anything differently?
I feel conflicted about answering that because part of me wants to say no, because of course it's the whole, you know, who I am today is because of all the things that have happened and the great things I've done and a lot of the tons of stupid things that I've done. So in that sense, I wouldn't change anything. Having the perspective and wisdom that I do now, obviously rolling through some of that again, I would have a lot more grace for people that were in my life. I would like to think if I had a do-over, but that's all predicated upon the experience that I have as a result of going through it. So that's my way of not answering your question, really.
That's a good answer. That's a good roundabout answer, though. You know, so Brian, we're coming off a year that's been very, very tough for a lot of folks out there. They've lost jobs, lost loved ones, lost finances. Yeah. A lot of people have even lost hope, right? So what words of advice would you give those folks out there who are listening that a brighter day is to come?
One of the biggest things is having grace for yourself and in your own life. That's just the first thing that came to mind as you mentioned that. Just give yourself a little bit of space. And whenever you're going through hell, and sports too, right? If you're kind of a third of the way through a race, if you're running, you don't want to be thinking about necessarily the finish line, mm-hmm. because it's so far removed that your brain can kind of go on tilt. What might be more helpful in that type of a case is just thinking back and looking back, maybe even taking a look back at how far have I come? What have I overcome in my past? And being like a dog on a bone on that, how far I've already come, what I've already worked my way through, and encouraging yourself with like, I'm not where I want to be at all, but holy Moses, I've actually covered some ground. If I will have some grace for myself, if I will look forward, and then at some point, faith has to kick in, because whenever you operate from fear, everything gets worse, everything gets worse, everything gets worse. And everything right now is so much about fear constantly. And it drives me up the flipping wall, because it gets into people's consciousness. And that's why you have to be a really good gatekeeper, especially times like this. But have some faith in yourself, give yourself some credit for what you've come through, and then look at the resources around you, the beautiful people that are still in your life. Maybe some people have left, maybe some important people, but you have people there that do care about you. And if you don't think you do, you're really, really, I would just encourage you, gain some different perspective, have a change of scenery. Because if you get, here's the thing, if you're in a really weird place in terms of your emotions and that type of thing, don't just sit there. You've got to change the scenery somehow, whether that's visualizing in your mind all the accomplishments, all the things you're grateful for, all the people that you love, or actually a physical change of environment, even for a half a day. We all get stuck in a certain place, just like a needle on a record. It just stays in that groove and plays that same song and album over and over and over. And sometimes you just have to pull the needle off and put something else and lay down a different track and move forward. So that's what comes to mind for me for people that are in the thick of it, because it's not a joke. People are going through crazy stuff right now. But the other piece of this is just tell yourself, when I come through this, I'm going to make this adversity pay for being here. Screw right. this. I know who I am, and go to your core identity and stop asking yourself how you feel. Tell yourself who you are and let that inform how you're going to feel.
I love it. Great advice from Brian Burkford. Hey, folks out there, hopefully you're inspired. You got to reach out to him as a coach. You're talking about a guy who can get you over the mountain. No better guy out there, though. So, Brian, if people want to get a hold of you again, what's the best way to do that?
Yeah. So BurkfordPerformance.com, and join the email list, because they get free access to my app that I put a ton of time, money, and energy into building out these resources and free courses on mental training, psychological strategy, a lot of the stuff we're talking about now. So that's the way to do it, my friend.
Awesome. Awesome. So Brian, we talked a lot about some tough stuff. You ready to have some fun now?
I'm so ready, man. I'm All so right, ready. Go, I'm already this having fun, but let's have more.
That's what I'm talking about. Hey, this portion of our show is called Rapid Fire Purpose Questions, okay? Beautiful. So I'm going to ask you a number of questions about purpose. I'm not going to elaborate on any of the questions. I want you to give me and the audience your best answer to each of the questions. All right, you ready?
Okay, hold on. I feel like I might need
your
to
mind right first.
All right, hit me.
Mind right. Here we go. First question. Tell us how you have turned a dream into reality.
Dream into reality. Well, I married my wife, which is pretty great. And
that's a good answer.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I feel like that was pretty freaking awesome. So there you have it. Dream into reality.
She's going to be very excited to hear that on this podcast.
I'm going to replay the heck out of this for her.
What gives your life meaning?
This is going to sound interesting, but I give my life meaning. Inherently, all of us have value, but I believe each of us give our life the specific meaning, give the events in our lives the specific meaning. So we are responsible for creating meaning, and our value is already set by our creator.
I love it. What one word best describes you?
Bold.
Oh, good one. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
I want to I don't want to say, I want to become the best version of me I can possibly be, because this, the focus on outside stuff and fixing outside stuff and other people, is like, if everybody would stop and actually turn inward, this world would transform. But everybody sees the problems, and I've done this a million times, that I actually have going internally, but I see them out there, and it gives me a battle to fight without having to deal with it inside. So I just want to get my stuff together.
Yeah, great. I love it. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Read, because it gave me a place to just kind of sequester myself and hide away.
Uh-huh. I like it. What do you wish you had more time to do?
I mean, I feel like I have, gosh, I honestly feel like I have all the time in the world. It's just a matter of prioritizing and making sure that it's lined up with my values. So, but I would like to probably take more vacations. So I need to get working and cracking on that.
Good, good. What does your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
Oh, that's hilarious. My 15-year-old self honestly would have thought I'd be out in Southern California messing around being a trainer and in the bodybuilding scene, which is, really? Yeah, hysterical looking back. Wow. Yeah, that's
cool. I like that. Who inspires you the most?
Okay, I'm going to say it. Me. And what I mean by that is, when we inspire ourselves, it's the most powerful moments of inspiration we ever have, when we do something we didn't imagine we could do. And so there's people that inspire me, but I feel like self-inspiration for all of us is the most powerful thing. So I got to be honest and say that.
I like that. I like that. What's something about yourself we might be surprised to learn about you?
Oh, man. Something to... Oh, so I live in Colorado, as you know, my fellow Coloradan, and I don't ski, I don't hike. So all the things that people come here to do, like, I don't do it. It's like somebody living on the ocean, and they don't surf. They never put their toes in the water. That's me, apparently.
I've never been skiing before either.
So. Nice, nice.
Yes, we have that bond there. I love it. What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
Loving and coaching and encouraging people.
I love it. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you?
Oh, what do I want my grandchildren to say about me? I don't really know that I want them to say anything about me. I would just want something to be powerfully imparted to them at the deepest level possible. So they're grounded, and so something almost like a spiritual impartation that whoever they are as individuals would need the most. So I don't really care what people say or think about me. I just want to be the difference maker.
I love it. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Oh, man. God, that's cool. I would want to be able to have people see the actual nature of reality, not reality as we see it, and that's so obvious in the everyday world, but the underlying nature of reality would be such a trip.
I love it. What sparks your creativity?
What sparks my creativity? Honestly, reading does it a lot. Ideas, philosophy, all that kind of stuff just gets me cranking, man. Gets me cranking.
I love it. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
Oh my gosh. You have freaking great questions, man. What law would I pass first? I feel like I would start like repealing laws that aren't being enforced, right? If we're not enforcing it, like, this is just a bunch of dead weight and it's taking up a bunch of time, energy, and let's just clear this stuff out and, you know, use the stuff that we're actually using.
Yeah, I love it. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
Oh, yes. Okay. Here you go. I would think my 80-year-old self.
Okay. That's a good one.
because that's the person that would have assimilated a bunch of knowledge and information from other sources and be able to tell me, contextualize for my situation in the moment, because they've walked in my shoes. So that's probably who it would be.
Good answer. What's been the best gift someone's ever given you?
Authenticity and just sharing purity of spirit. So I guess that's just love with no expectation around it. Mm-hmm. It feels much different.
Yeah. What's one thing you have never been afraid to do?
Never been afraid to do. Oh, dude, I don't know, man. That's like a super great question, because I actually feel like I've always been a person that's pushing and testing the outer edges. And that's just the way that I do things. So I don't even necessarily remember anything that I haven't been scared of. It's more, I've been kind of scared of everything that I've done, but not been willing to let it hold me back. The water phobia thing was the closest that I got.
Okay, that's a good answer. Love it. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
There's a few specific moments where I just remember being with people, and for whatever reason, I was open and authentic enough to let something like a truth or a piece of encouragement flow through me that was not even originated by me, but my ego was out of the way. And so something much better was allowed to come through that didn't benefit me in the least, but was able to actually help somebody else out in the moment.
I like, great answer. What does success look like for you?
Success. Okay. Gonna be honest, because of my authentic comment earlier. Success for me is progressively or instantaneously, which would be great too, but awakening to the true nature of things, of not staying asleep and getting caught up in all the stimulation of what's going on, just the nature of reality and waking up to who and what I truly am, because that's going to have the biggest impact on other people.
I love it. What are you most grateful for?
Gosh, my wife was the first thing that came to mind. But just all the things of the moment, like love, joy, giving, compassion, all the things that are needed the most, and the fact that they're available to us all the time is probably what I'm most grateful for.
Yeah, I love it. What's been the biggest lesson you have learned in life?
Well, this came to mind, and it's a big one, so I'll go with it. The difference between giving up and letting go. So because of the drive that was created in me, I found it hard. I'm a finisher. There are some people who start a lot of things. I freaking finish, man. But that can, again, get unhealthy. And so the other piece that I really had to learn was that distinction between not giving or like quitting and letting go, because I used to think that if I stopped doing something, it meant it was quitting. And so there was things that I was carrying around that were really, really unhealthy, because I had that identity of a finisher, quote unquote. And I realized, you know, I can just let go, and that can be very empowering. That's different than quitting, because I'm not willing to just put in the work or something. So that distinction is real important.
Great answer. I love it. And last but not least, how do you want to be remembered in history?
I've been thinking about a similar question to that recently. And I'm like, I don't even care, honestly. I don't care. I could go under a pseudonym, because it's more about the impact that I'm going to have. I think sometimes when our legacy is us and history remembers us, that makes me feel like I wasn't just an open vessel for something greater to come through. So I don't really necessarily want history to remember me. It can, if it wants to, I guess, but that's really not my aim.
Awesome, great answer. Brian Burkford, you survived, man. Give me some round of applause.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. I love it. Absolutely. Give myself a pat on the back.
Yes, great responses.
Get some water here, man. That was intense.
Great responses. So, Brian, as we go to wrap things up, the focal point of our podcast centers on two things, purpose and resiliency. What last words can you leave our audience with around purpose and resiliency?
The audience already has purpose. Each individual member has purpose, and it's not necessarily like one person that people want to latch onto. There's like a deeper purpose and a driving force. And what is that for you? Is it helping other people? Is it creating something great? Is it being an artist? Is it being whatever? You have purpose. So that's just a matter of finding it within and having somebody help you if you need it. But resilience, dude, you're still alive, man. So, and ladies, right? So if you're still alive, you are resilient. Don't undercut yourself by acting like you're not or somebody else is more resilient. You have all the resilience you need. The only thing that could get in the way is stupid excuses where you tell yourself, well, I just wish I was that whatever, fill in the blank. Because you're not recognizing yourself and you're absolving yourself of becoming who you are. That's that Marianne Williamson quote. It's not our light, it's not our darkness that frightens us, it's our light or whatever. I'm botching the quote, but you know what I'm saying? That's the piece, because we're scared of our own power. So I would say you've got all the purpose and all the resilience you need. Just dig in and bring more of it out every day.
What a great answer. My man, Brian Bergeson, Denver, Colorado. Brian, if people want to get a hold of you one more time, what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yep, just bergfordperformance.com. Hop on my email list and we'll hook you up with some awesome stuff and we'll keep in contact.
Hey, be sure to reach out to Brian Burkford. And folks out there, if you're someone, you're an overcomer who's overcome obstacles, we want to hear from you. Go to tawatson.com, share your story, subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories, download this episode, rate it, share with your folks on social media. And everyone out there, I want to thank you guys for joining today. Brian Burkford, thank you very much for joining me, my man. Another Colorado one out there.
Everyone,
can't appreciate you enough. Thank you, everyone. God bless and peace and deuces.
Yours truly.
Thank you.
Dr. Watson. My story.